Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hanley. Mornings on the Score.
T. Cutler, just my thoughts. I want to thank him personally. You know, I've spoken to him, him and his family, everything they've done for this organization. It means a lot, and I wish them nothing but the best in the next chapter of their life. I'm excited about the additions. Mike Glennon, Quentin Demps, Deion Sims, Marcus Wheaton. We've got some other things working on right now, kind of coming down the pipeline. We're fired up, guys. So I've liked Mike ever since NC State, honestly. And obviously, he's a big quarterback with a strong arm. He's intelligent. He can quickly process. He sees the field. He's accurate. He gets the ball out quick. So there's a lot of traits about him that I like, and we're really excited to have him here.
When I watched the Bears film, I saw a great offensive line. I saw a great running game. And I saw playmakers on the outside. And I saw a system that I felt fit my skill set. I'm just excited and that it all worked out the way that I had hoped and envisioned.
The signing might conceivably change where you might draft a quarterback, like in what round.
It could. I mean, yeah, we're gonna take the best player at every pick. We have three names right now, you know, that we like. And then, but to go further into that, we have a group of names, kind of in a cloud of names, kind of in the middle of the first round.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
I didn't see that coming at all. Anything's possible, and anything can happen in this draft. I'm just so happy to be a Chicago Bear.
I was surprised. That's bottom line, but it was made clear to me about 10 minutes after from a call from Ryan, and the next morning again. 2017 season is my year.
Mike Glennon is our starting quarterback. There's no quarterback competition when Mitch gets here.
Starting quarterback Mike Glennon, not superstitious, but he does tell me one thing he does before every game day is play Kenny Chesney's The Boys of Fall.
Fans going crazy for The Boys of Fall.
We see Mike Glennon in a Bears uniform for the first time. Not only is it a new team, he hasn't started a game in 2 years.
2017 season is my year.
Deion Sims motions left. Snap, Glennon, play fake to Howard. Here comes trouble, and down he goes. Three Falcons were bearing down on Mike Glennon. Third down and eight. Shotgun snap, blitz is on. Free blitzer coming. Glennon eats it. Down he goes. Lost the ball.
It's been clear in the building that this year is my year.
Snap on three. Throwing over the middle. It's intercepted. Quan Alexander takes away Mike Glennon and stops the drive cold. They are blitzing. Glennon in trouble. Hit from behind. Ball is out. It's on the ground.
This year is my year.
Steelers rush four. Back to throw, low, and they have picked off Mike Glennon. Snap to Glennon, back to throw. In trouble, and down he goes. Steelers bring him down.
This is my year.
Snap, Glennon's going to throw on first down. Here's a late pressure coming. They hit him, the ball is out. Bouncing inside the 10. Covered up by the Packers at the 3-yard line. He takes the snap with time, fires it, intercepted on the overthrow. Fourth turnover of the day and a second interception of Mike Glennon tonight.
This year, it's been fully communicated that it's my year, and I'm not going to worry about the future. So as long as I play well, everything will work out. Work out. Work out.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Was that the emotional send-off to Mike Glennon as he heads to back up in Arizona? Teary-eyed. Boy, that's like a Ryan Pace acid flashback.
Wow.
About how.
Well, you know what it is, too? I think today is a glorious day because we're talking about the improvement of the Bears offense. But it's also, maybe that's a cautionary tale about free agency. Is that what the guys are driving at? Maybe it's a reminder that while you can fix positions, you can't fix teams in free agency. It's good they got a kicker. I know we haven't mentioned that. It's good they got Prince back. I know we haven't really talked enough about that. But the division is going to be better than ever in terms of quarterback play because Kirk Cousins now in Minnesota and Matthew Stafford is in Detroit. And I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but Aaron Rodgers healthy in Green Bay.
And Mike Glennon's gone.
And Mike Glennon out of the division. But it is Mitch Trubisky's year. And they went out and they got the quarterback some players that can help him. And presumably the offense will get significantly better because of the fact that you've got an offensive-minded head coach. You brought Brad Childress in here. You brought the offensive coordinator, comes from the college game, big ideas, different types of plays. You go on the board and you draw them up, and now you actually have guys that can run routes and maybe catch the ball and maybe do something after the catch. And you got perhaps a number one wide receiver in Allen Robinson. You got yourself a new weapon in the tight end, Trey Burton, a guy that can catch the ball and do some things. You gave him 4 years at $32 million, which is more than people might have thought. And then, of course, the wide receiver, Taylor Gabriel, comes over from the Falcons, and he can do a lot of little things. He's kind of one of those water bug guys, and you saw them operate well in Kansas City. So presumably they can adapt some of the offense there into what they want to do here. And, again, you know, it maybe opens up the draft to a defensive player. Maybe that's where you get your pass rush.
Look, and I'd like to remind everyone, this Hour and Score brought to us by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Last year, Ryan Pace was trying to sell you on something. He was trying to manufacture something Mike Glennon was not. He was not a starting quarterback. He's not going to be one in Arizona. He's going to back up Sam Bradford. You know,
that means he's going to be one.
Okay, and that's perfect. But you know what? We can debate Sammy Watkins against Robinson all day. Yeah. They did the obvious here. They got one of the guys they had to get.
Yes.
Now we'll find out. Time will tell if they got the right one. And But, you know, last year they were trying to tell you they found a player that the rest of the league decided wasn't a starting quarterback. This year you need a wide receivers. You still need wide receivers. You probably still need to draft one in the later rounds of the draft. But you went out and you addressed the biggest need you had in terms of getting targets for Mitch Trubisky. So, and I think most people are still on board that Mitch Trubisky looks like he's going to be the guy. And time will tell on that as well. If he's not the guy, then all this stuff is really just spinning your wheels.
Well, you know, again, all the stuff they've done has been Trubisky-centric, right? Certainly getting themselves an offensive-minded head coach and then him reaching around and getting all these fantastic offensive minds that he can have come in here. And then, of course, you also have the idea that the weapons will be improved. But let's remember, and I don't want to be skeptical about what they're doing, but they are effectively addressing positions that they tried to address and couldn't before. They went into a season where, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Alshon should have been signed long term. He obviously didn't want to be here, so you had to let him go. I have no problem with them making a decision that Alshon doesn't want to be here. What really bothers me is that you went into a season with no weapons at all at the position. You had to know that you were going to let the guy go. You never replaced them. It's okay to let a guy go, but you got to replace him. And the idea, the theory, I guess, was that, well, you know, Cam Meredith is ready to burst out. He's going to have a great year. Boom, he gets an injury. Well, you know, Kevin White is finally going to blossom.
Oops.
Boom, he gets another injury. So you were relying on things. You were betting the if come, and you let a guy go, and now you're down three. So now you're addressing a position that you were empty at a year ago. And you are also, by the way, bringing in a kicker because you were empty there a year ago. So, you know, every year that Ryan Pace has been here, they have found themselves short at a position, and they've been scrambling at the beginning of a year. This maybe is a year where that's not the case, because the two corners are coming back in a division where you brought in another quarterback to a quarterback-rich division. So you got to have cornerbacks. You got to have a pass rush, and they don't have a pass rush, and they let a lot of guys go that ostensibly, I'm not saying they were great players or were pass rushers, but that, at least on paper, is what they were supposed to be able to do. So that is probably now the priority in the draft. You would think that would be the case. There are not pass rushers in free agency. It's rare that you get receivers, and that's why a guy like Allen Robinson, with the potential to be a number one receiver, shows up with coming off an ACL, and that makes an uncertainty, even if you feel like that's an injury that a lot of people can come back from pretty quickly. So, you know, it's not perfect, but they're making strides in the right direction because they are concerned with the quarterback, and they're trying to build things around the quarterback, and that's exactly what they need to be doing right now.
And during our 5-5, one of the questions we debated was how much better the Bears become in the last couple of days with these reported signings, which will start to become official at 3 o'clock today. What does it tell you about the team's future? And that's a great open-ended question because, as you pointed out in the 5-5, the division didn't stand still, right? Kirk Cousins is now going to be quarterbacking a team that got very close to getting to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers got a new weapon in Jimmy Graham, yes, and said goodbye to Jordy Nelson.
They've been desperate for a tight end for a while, right, and they take another shot at it here with Jimmy Graham. And you know, we didn't even mention the defensive tackle, which is a huge spot in that defense, and they fortify that as well. So it's, you know, listen, the Packers are getting better. You know, you mentioned Green Bay getting better. Minnesota getting better. Are the Lions better? Does that
they have a new coach? We don't know what they're doing exactly yet.
All right, so we know what's going on in the division, and we know what's going on with the Bears, and presumably they have made these moves to make sure they got everything right. We have a major announcement coming up here on the Score. If you don't already know, we are going to be live on. In fact, I think we're live on Facebook.
We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. We're live on Facebook.
Or Facebook Live.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, "No, you've got a face for radio." But
now you can validate that.
Yes, you can go ahead
times
and tune
two
in, and you'll see us. We're wearing Cubs gear and Sox gear and stuff like that because that's what we do. I've got the vaunted Mully and Hanley hat on.
Maybe collector's item.
Should we give out some of those later today? Wouldn't that be a good idea, Dustin? He's shaking his head no because he doesn't like people. But I think we should do that. I think we'll give away 5 or 6 hats to some of our texters to reward them if they could tell us what color the hat is on Facebook Live. It's green. Okay. I mean, it's been green forever. You know, come on.
This segment of the show is brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts, 312-644-6767.
We got to get to the bracket because we're not going to have a lot of time to get to our brackets. We should talk a little bit about I have a bracket here that is not filled out because my filled-out bracket, I didn't bring it with me this morning. But, Brian, you have your full
mine
bracket.
Mine has a lot of scratches. Yeah. It's fluid. Yeah. Everything's fluid.
I have Loyola winning in the first round of the tournament, and then I have them winning in the second round of the tournament. I don't know about the Elite Eight. They probably would face, let's see, I have them beating Tennessee, which is kind of dumb. They probably face Cincinnati, which I don't know if people are aware or not, would be a rematch of the 1963 championship game. And I'm taking Loyola because they beat them already once.
You should have them going all the way to San Antonio
That's
and winning
right.
the game. I
there
mean, you should.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I do on a couple of mine, but this one is clean. So we'll go over it. We'll talk about that. We've got a lot of things to get into yet, and we have a major announcement. We're going to talk tournament next. We're going to bring in Chad Millman in a little bit, and we'll get the picks from the Action Network. We had a chance to catch up with him, and we'll talk about what they had. We have obviously done a pretty fun job of getting a lot of people's opinions, and now we can take some of the good betting ideas and apply
today
them
to
our
brackets.
Today you
have to get brackets. Your brackets together and get them into your office
And we'll do
pool.
That for you next. We'll just give you a couple of teams. Brian has he's got a very interesting I can't read a word of it. Does this count if you've written down pretty much every name and scratched it out?
I scratch out more of them when the games actually start.
That's a hell of a team.
Yeah. It's a great way to get a head start.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. Who are we missing in the tournament? You know, Jay Williams said that there are going to be no seeds above 10, no double-digit seeds that will advance in the tournament. Who's your double-digit seed? Do you have one? 312-644-6767. I have one. I will reiterate who it is next. I'll give you a hint. It's my alma mater. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That's our buddy Tim Doyle, and he knows what's going on. We're broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio here at Entercom headquarters, and you can watch us on Facebook Live. We are on getting ready for our major announcement. We've been told we're going to have a special guest Mitch Rosen that's going to our program director himself will come out from behind the shadows and say a few words. So that is always exciting. We've talked about the NCAA tournament. Let's zip through this a little bit, Mr. Hanley. You've got your scratch out in front of you.
Can I just mention, though, Tim
yes,
Doyle, and
please.
He knows his hoops inside
yes,
and out. He
does.
Played up in Northwestern.
He certainly did.
He's an analyst on
and
TV.
You launched his career.
Yeah, for sure.
You gave him his personality.
He just told you Loyola was a lock to win a game to start. And is this a good thing or a bad thing, Molly?
Bad thing.
Okay.
You know, we've talked about it.
I know,
and
because
you, Brian.
Every time I turn around,
yes.
And I'm so happy for you because New York Times going through the brackets,
good.
Loyola.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to look for an upset, and then really, they're only 2.5 point dogs, point dogs. Not much. Everyone loves Loyola.
Everyone but ESPN.
Paul Basir this morning. Paul Basir this morning
Loyola.
Immediately said Loyola as an one of his four teams to bet as an upset winner. So, does that make you feel good or nervous?
It makes me feel more, as I've learned from years of working with you, you've got to go against the public.
I know, I'm a contrarian.
You've got to go against the experts, and you have to be a contrarian. And I am worried about that. I don't like the number of people that seem to be on board. I do agree that, I really felt good about the Ramblers winning a few games here, and I'm biased, but I'm going to pick them into my Final Four. We should go through our Final Four, and then we can work backwards, but I'm going to take the Ramblers just because what the hell? Once every 33 years,
you gotta
I get to
do
make
it.
A fool
you
of myself.
You got to have the karma going. You
yes,
have to...
I'm all for it. I do think they could win this game. I do think they're a good team. I do think they need to knock down their shots, and I think that it's not going to be easy, but they're 2.5 point underdogs, and I feel confident in investing some money in that.
I have them in the Sweet 16.
I know you do.
And I talked myself out of the Elite Eight, and I wasn't doing it just on a whim. I really... Yeah, but some people absolutely believe Cincinnati's the real deal and that they're going to get to the Final Four. I don't believe that. My Final Four, Villanova, Virginia, it's fluid. I just scratched out 5 minutes ago. I was in love with Xavier until I kept reading where I shouldn't be in love with Xavier, so I went Gonzaga, and Duke. I scratched out Kansas, who apparently should be a 3 seed, not a 1 seed by a lot of the metrics, and I have Duke beating Michigan State and getting to the Final Four against Nova.
Yeah, I have Michigan State getting to the Final Four. I like your Villanova pick. I am a big fan of my Loyola Ramblers, and that leaves me with one more team to pick, and I'm going to go ahead and go with some chalk. And as much as you don't like Xavier, I will, of course, go ahead and
I loved him. I had him in the title game.
Yeah, yeah. So
and again, the more you read on this stuff,
school picks.
How do you have him from the title game and then you don't even have him in the Final Four?
I don't know why you did that.
I just because it's, you know what, it's Wednesday. It might change by tomorrow morning.
Well, it can.
What time does this have to be in? By 11?
It has to be in by 11 tomorrow. So
okay, I still have time to scratch.
We can go back and do that. What about, I really like Murray State as an upset team. I have them. I have the Ramblers. I don't think there's tons of upsets, but it's either there's not a ton or the whole thing's up for grabs.
I got Charleston, 13 Charleston.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a fun one. And I don't know what is considered an upset. If Syracuse ends up beating Arizona State, I think they can go ahead and win as an 11 seed and get through a round as well. I just think that, there are...
Syracuse going to beat... right now,
is that an upset?
It was an upset they even made the field.
Yeah, okay.
you know what? I have Penn covering against Kansas.
And so,
Paul Basir told us there's a 5% chance they can 16 can finally knock off a 1, and that's considered significant.
That's 5% is a lot more than normal. Let's get to Joe with the scoreboard update. Joe, I'm sure you have... a lot of different ideas about the tournament.
Brian, I had the same reaction when I heard the Tim Doyle cut.
Yeah.
He put that L word on it. I'm not very comfortable with that.
Are you picking against my team?
Right away, my first reaction, and you say go with the gut. My first reaction is I wrote down Loyola twice.
Yes.
And now I'm just thinking it over.
Scratch it out. That's what Brian likes to do.
No, I kept the mic. I scratched them in the Elite Eight.
I'm just saying, in the course of your bracket.
We're still talking about the brackets?
It's still a work in progress.
Is there a Survivor thing going on?
Yeah. You know what?
Where the hell dropped the ball on that?
Yeah. There's some, I mean, where's apparently business is getting in the way of our fun.
Every time you read these stories, how many billions of dollars of work is lost in March because everyone's fixated on the brackets. And apparently here we're not going to lose.
Joe, what are your numbers in the Adam tournament? Are you feeling good about those?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, whatever.
I have one of my numbers is 8-8. So you know, I'm going to need a draw.
You know what I just heard from Joe?
No,
that was like a nickel for him. That was just
nothing.
Oh, that's I'm in that too. Yeah. But you know, the real money's going elsewhere.
No, I know with those square pools, it's like we'll see after the round. You have to go through all the games. Those are fun too. But the Survivor, that's one of my favorite all year.
I agree.
A lot of different strategies.
Why don't you run that, Joe? Get on.
Dustin likes to get in that and then try to cut a deal with someone to split when he realizes he's not going to win.
Well, I know you're taking Loyola in the first round, rack up those points. So
get 11th seed, buddy.
There you go.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we're delighted to welcome in Chad Millman. He, of course, with the Action Network. Good morning, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're looking for some action, to be honest with you. So you're the man to talk to. So listen, here's my deal. I went to Loyola, and my team is in the tournament for the first time in 33 years, the Scottie Pippen anniversary, as we call it here in Chicago. And they've got Miami in the opening round of the tournament. It's a 2.5-point spread. Is there any reason to have action on the Ramblers?
I think there's huge reason to have action on the Ramblers. I, like you, am a huge Loyola fan because I grew up in the North Shore of Chicago.
Nice.
And, like, remember the Al Frederick Hughes days and how awesome that was, like, when Loyola and DePaul were both relevant college basketball teams. But Loyola is one of those teams that a lot of professional bettors, also known as wise guys, are looking at as a pretty good bet in the first round because, A, Clayton Custer's a really good point guard, and he's the kind of guy who, against a team like Miami, which likes to play a lot of man-to-man defense, they're going to have a really hard time if they get caught in a mismatch against Custer, who can break down pretty much anybody, let alone someone who shouldn't be guarding him. So his ability to break someone down and then penetrate is going to be massive for Loyola. So a lot of guys are looking at that not just as a good bet for Loyola against the point spread, but as an opportunity for Loyola to advance and pull off sort of one of those low seed, high seed upsets.
So, Chad, I'm heading to Vegas on Thursday, and from what I hear, immediately when the brackets are posted Sunday, even though that two-hour show left a lot of us with a migraine, there was information there. People lined up immediately, the pros, the wise guys, the guys who do this for a living, immediately, you know, there had a decision and had multiple decisions and put money down on teams. How quickly can you even at the Action Network figure out where the value is?
Oh, you can figure it out right away. Look, like, we had stories up almost instantaneously about, from a point spread perspective, as soon as these numbers were coming out, because don't forget, like professional bettors, you know, our guys are literally, they're watching film on Radford. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
They are breaking down UNC Asheville games. And so, because when you're betting, every game is of equal value. There's no greater opportunity in betting on Kansas, Oklahoma, as there is on betting in Lipscomb. And so you need to know everything because that's where you're going to find sort of the biggest delta between what your power rating is and what you think the point spread should be and what the bookmakers put it at. In fact, there's more opportunity on the teams nobody knows because bookmakers pay less attention to those teams. So you're going to, if you're smarter about those teams, you can make more money. So everyone is able to do analysis and get money down as soon as those spreads are posted. The challenge in the tournament is, like, there's very few secrets. And so the wise guys, when they see an opportunity, they grab it really, really quickly, which means sort of amateurs like you and I are not going to get really good value as opposed to when the line first opens.
So, you know, it's so funny because we look at this tournament and we talk about the balance in college basketball and we talk about how it's open and even the number one seed. But then when you get down to it and you start making your picks, you start leaning toward some of the higher seeded or some of the low seeded teams, obviously. The twos have had issues in the past. I know that. How many teams to start with do you believe are value buys in this tournament? How many of these teams can win this thing?
I think there's probably about six or eight teams that I think can probably win this thing. I think Villanova, but the challenge is that I think three of them could come from the East. I think Villanova could win. I think Purdue could win. I think Wichita State could win. I think Duke and Michigan State could win. I like Virginia. I like Cincinnati. I like Michigan. So, you know, just looking at those, I don't love Xavier. I don't love Kansas. I'm not a huge UNC fan. To me, like, the Flyers are really around Cincinnati, Wichita State, both out of the AAC, Purdue. Arizona is a tricky one. A lot of people are talking about Arizona right now because of the way they finished the season after the FBI investigation, the way they ran through the Pac-12 conference tournament. You know, they have Ayton at center, who's 7 feet tall and all of a sudden is flying up the draft boards as sort of the number one overall pick in most NBA mock drafts. So they're an interesting team. I don't like them as much as I like the others, but a lot of people are starting to talk about them.
Chad, I know that instead of just betting individual games, now, you know, the sports books allow you to bet, you know, teams to get to the Final Four, obviously to win the whole thing. That's been around forever. But even getting to the Sweet 16, is that a wise way to do it instead of trying to micromanage your money? Just pick a handful of teams that you see value in and, you know, bet on how far they'll get in the tournament?
You know, it entirely depends on how you like to manage your bankroll. A lot of guys don't love doing future bets because it ties up their money for, you know, in this case, a couple of weeks. And so they're not interested in sort of having their money sort of sitting in a bank somewhere or sitting in a sports book for, you know, a metaphor. so it entirely depends on what your preference is. If you feel like a sports book completely and totally missed a number, then on a Sweet 16 future bet, then you go for it. But if you don't think there's a ton of value, then you don't. It's really based on sort of the value proposition and how comfortable you are tying up your money.
It's interesting. You mentioned the FBI investigation, and certainly we look at a couple of teams in this turn. There's an old joke about a guy going to a restaurant called Karma. You don't order off the menu. You just get what you deserve. That doesn't happen in the NCAA tournament, right? So does Arizona, does Michigan State, do teams that were under a cloud, is this their release from that, or does that affect them? How do you view that? Is it too outside the numbers to even think about?
I think that I don't think it matters at all. I think any emotional bounce for Arizona was coming right after the allegations from that ESPN story became public, and in the immediate aftermath where that team had to rally at the end of the season and there was all the support for Sean Miller, and then what happened during the Pac-12 tournament. Now it's, you know, even Steven. And Michigan State, like, look, that Tom Izzo is such a veteran coach. That is not a school that is a program that is going to be overly emotional about these particular allegations. And they've been having a hard time for a year, right? Because there were other allegations about sort of sexual abuse allegations within the program. So, and how sort of players were treating women on campus. So they've been dealing with this all year. I don't think it really matters to them.
So when you look at the traditional 12 over 5, it seems like the more you read, and everyone's got an opinion and everyone has stats to back it up. Now, you know, recently it seems like the 11s are the ones to bet for the underdog, which would play into the Loyola bet as well. Your power rankings or your, when you look at your information and then you saw the actual brackets posted, how much did it differ, if at all?
Well, certainly, like, we take a look at who we think is overseeded and underseeded. But if you're talking specifically about, like, those brackets, like, look at, New Mexico State over Clemson. A lot of people are talking about Murray State in West Virginia, and that's a good opportunity. Like we just mentioned, there's Loyola in Miami is another one. Like, look at, say, Butler is a team that they're a 10 seed in the East, and if you look at their metrics, they are better from an efficiency perspective than Miami, which got a 6 seed. And so they're probably closer to being a 7 seed than they are a 10 seed. And they're a, for lack of a better term, trendy upset pick over Arkansas. And to me, that's interesting. Like, you start to see a couple of those discrepancies if you look deeper at the metrics and look beyond the team name jersey that's on the front of the jersey.
Hey, he's Chad Millman, and we're talking to our man from the Action Network, actionnetwork.com. We should have explained this earlier, but what will our listeners find at your site? What is it that you are specializing in here?
It's actionnetwork.com, and we specialize in stories, research, data, tools that help you make better decisions around investing in sports, if we want to be euphemistic. But the reality is it's all about betting. Like, how do you decide who you're going to choose in your brackets? How do you decide what teams you want to pick for future bets in the NFL? How do you decide if you want to bet on the Cubs season win totals or on the White Sox betting the under on the season win totals, all things like that. We tend to focus on it. We launched in January. And I came from, 16 years at ESPN, and my last gig was editorial director of ESPN Digital. But I had always loved sports betting and covered it as a passion at ESPN for a long time. So when this came up, it was too hard to say no.
Before we get your Final Four, June, the Supreme Court's supposed to issue its ruling on the New Jersey case, which in effect will
legalize
sports betting and might do it for the country eventually. How much will that change the face of sports betting?
I think initially probably not very much. But I think what it does, it kind of opens the floodgates to all the other states. There's about 20 states that and the Supreme Court, by the way, could rule to legalize sports betting in New Jersey anytime between March 20th and June 20th. And if they do, which I think a lot of people expect they will, New Jersey will have it right away. So you could honestly end up betting on the Final Four in New Jersey if they do it next week. But there's about 15 to 20 states that are on the runway with sports betting laws that they've passed in state legislatures that if the language is matching what the Supreme Court allows, then they'll be ramping up very quickly. And I think what happens is over the next 3 to 4 years, a majority of the states around the country end up offering sports betting. And by then, the leagues have come together and worked with Congress to come up with a framework to make sports betting legal nationwide.
Chad, we'll let you go. Just before we do, give us one big kind of upset early and give us your pick for the tournament.
So in my Final Four, I'm going to go with Purdue out of the East as a 2 seed, Michigan State as a 3 seed out of the Midwest, Cincinnati as a 2 seed out of the South, and I'd probably go with Xavier as a 1 seed out of the West because it would be weird to not have any 1 seed. but I think Cincinnati is going to win it all. That would be my pick. So that's 2-for-1 because I think that's an upset pick and it's my Final Four.
Wow.
That's great. All right. Sounds great, Chad. Thanks a ton. We really appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Take care.
That's Chad Millman, the Action Network. Pretty interesting the way he's going about it. And he's written tons of books. He wrote a book about the trio of Vegas bookmakers and gamblers and, man, I got to go read that book.
Well, yeah, because I only had Xavier. He had 3 different ones than I did.
All right. Want to thank Chad for jumping on. It's Mully and Hanley. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.